We Talk Podcasts is now proudly presented by Geek Nation Tours. Check out the Geek Nation Tours New York Comic Con package, combining all the excitement of the convention with a tour of the city and the coolest sights for the superhero fan. You'll recognize locations from films and books and visit geek culture sites like Jay and Silent Bob's Secret Stash. The time of the geek is at hand. Geek Nation Tours provides fun and unique vacation packages featuring themes such as the Civil War, Harry Potter, board games and beer, sports geeks, in locations such as Germany, Japan, England, and all over America. Visit geeknationtours.com and get your geek on.
Hey y'all, here we go. It's week 5. We Talk Fantasy Football. Mo and Brett.
Hello.
All right, we're back for, like you say, week 5. We're coming off a really good week 4 for us. We went 6-0. Won every game, and a lot of it was pure luck, but we made some right decisions too. So we'll be going over our teams a little bit and our waiver moves and what we're doing and what's working and why it is we're winning and what we can learn from that and you can learn from that. But we're going to open it up with our usual kind of picks of the week here just to kick it off. So, Brett, let's get her going.
All right. Colts and Texans, that'll be our Thursday game. Well, I mean, this one doesn't seem a very hard choice to me. And you know what? Andrew Luck wouldn't even need to play. I think he's going to play, but he wouldn't necessarily need to play for the Colts to win this one.
Well, the thing is, I don't think the Colts are a good team. And nope. I think the Colts could easily lose this game. Except for the Texans, the last 2 weeks, have looked like the worst team in football. And so based on that, their defense is just so bad right now. I just don't see how you can't go with the Colts. So I say you go with the Colts and start Gore where you can. And what do you say?
Yeah, I mean, one of the things with Vontae Davis out, 100% loving DeAndre Hopkins.
Ah, yes, absolutely, absolutely. Well, I do anyways. Garbage time. He'll always be the garbage time king.
That's right.
Next game.
The Bills-Titans. This one's a hard one for me because I would normally pick the Bills, you know, quite handily, but I don't actually think the Bills are that good a team. And the Titans are maybe a better team than I think they are, but, you know, my gut says Bills.
Well, you know what? I was listening to SiriusXM yesterday, and they were talking about the Bills, and they were listing them as one of the top 5 defenses in the NFL, and the stats don't play that out. This defense has not looked good. They have not. It's not just the Patriots game. They played 4 games. Their stats are not good. You can pass on them. You can certainly run on them. It's a plus matchup, especially for Mariota, especially for Kendall Wright and these guys, especially in the pass game. So I actually, and plus you have an extra week of preparation and the records of teams coming up buys. I think you got to go Titans.
Right.
Plus the injuries. Don't forget all those injuries. No Sammy Watkins, no McCoy, no Williams. It's looking like all these players are gone. I mean, who's that leave? Clay?
Tyrod Taylor.
Right, yeah, Tyrod Taylor and Clay.
And Percy Harvin.
Yeah, so who does that leave?
All right. The Bears, Chiefs.
2 more bad teams. I look at the Colts, Texans, and I think, well, at least one of those is a bad team, maybe 2 bad teams. The way it's played out now. This is another one where you're like, this just isn't good teams. Like the Chiefs, I don't think people have realized again how much their defense has fallen off. Like their defense has fallen off because a couple years ago they were so good. But their defense has fallen right off. So it's a plus matchup for Cutler, Royal, Jeffery. I actually like the Bears to win here. I know a couple weeks ago you said you thought they were the worst team in football. They're not. They're not good, but they're not the worst team in football, and I think they're gonna. I think I don't know. I could see it could go either way. It's a pick 'em game for me, but I'm going Bears.
It's absolutely a pick 'em game. And in fairness, this one will go a long way in helping to determine who is the worst team in football.
Well, the Texans are there.
Yeah, the Texans are right up there. No question. Or right down there, I should say.
Yeah, there's a lot of bad teams. We'll get to some more.
But I am going to roll the dice on the Chiefs at home.
And the Chiefs at home. Okay, we're going to go to another one, and I'm going to pick another upset. I think this is where the Packers lose a game.
Rams-Packers?
I think the Rams beat the Packers. I think the Rams are one of those teams that can beat teams. They fall to teams that they should beat, but they beat teams they should fall to. They're on the road, I know. And the Packers are great, but I wouldn't sleep on these Rams. I think by the end of the season, people will be surprised at how good their record is. I think it'll be a 9-7, 10-6 team, and pushing for a playoff spot. So I'm going to pick them to win this one.
Wow, that's very interesting. I'm going the Packers all the way.
Yeah, we'll see.
I don't think the Rams have the offensive firepower to stay in the game.
Gurley makes a difference. If he rushes like he did last game, they could have the offensive firepower.
All right, the Saints-Eagles.
Speaking of bad teams, here's two more that could very well be the worst teams still. I'm going to go Saints. I'm picking all road teams here.
Yeah,
I know. Is wrong with me? I picked one home team so far.
You're crazy.
I picked the Colts too. Yeah, they were on the road. Yeah, I mean, I picked the Titans at home, but that's it. I think the Saints will. I think Breeze is probably getting a little healthier. I think Snead will have a big day. I think the Eagles, they're a team without any. I mean, both of these are two teams without an identity. I don't know. And you know what? I would start Breeze or Bradford here. I don't like the defensive matchup I don't think the Eagles' run game will work in the defensive matchup here for them. So I think if the Eagles still can't establish a run game, they will be vulnerable.
Well, if this is an upset, I'm going with the Saints. I don't know that it is an upset, but
I think it probably still is. But
probably is. So my upset special in this case is the Saints over top of the Eagles. I think the Saints are getting closer to figuring something out, whereas the Eagles, I just don't think are all that special. All right. Moving on, Cardinals, Lions.
Oh, the Cardinals, big time here.
The Lions also could be the worst team in football.
Well, they're the only team in football that doesn't have a win yet. They're 0-4.
Though they should have beat Seattle.
They should have beat Seattle, and of course they got some bad luck on that one. That said, the Cardinals, I think, will bounce back after a loss to the Rams. I see them bouncing back here. I think it'll be a big day for Palmer. Big day for Palmer and Fitzgerald.
Seems a likely choice. Definitely the Cardinals. All right, the Broncos, Raiders.
I'm going to go Raiders.
Yeah, conventional wisdom says Broncos for sure.
Broncos are 4-0. Raiders are 2-2. I'm going to go Raiders. Home teams have to win sometimes. The Broncos are. I think it's smoke and mirrors. Peyton Manning is a very average NFL quarterback at this point. Great defense. Awesome defense. I mean, Carr could be, he could be terrorized this week, and that could cause the win. That said, Carr is a quick three-step drop kind of guy, and I think he'll sense the pressure well, and I think he'll get the ball out, and I think it'll be a good day. I wouldn't play Murray, but I think the Raiders pass game will be just good enough. I predict them to win a low-scoring game.
I'm going to agree with the Raiders, but there is no doubt in my mind that the Broncos defense could be the start of the game.
Yeah.
All right, the Browns, Ravens.
Oof. What do you got here?
I'm going to go with the Ravens. They're not a very good team, but they are at home, and the fact that they got that late win last week, I think is going to give them a little bit of momentum.
They were gifted that win by terrible coaching from Tomlin.
Yes.
Who I don't think is a good coach. Who was lucky to have Cowher's personnel and system still somewhat in place and Roethlisberger to win a Super Bowl early in his career. I actually think the Browns are going to win. I think McCown's going to have a big, big day. I see the Ravens. I mean, who do they have to catch the ball? The Browns, here's a team the Browns are facing where you could say unquestionably the Browns have the better, deeper receiving core. Think about that.
It's pretty sad, ultimately.
I'm going to go with the Browns on the road again, another road win.
Well,
speaking of road wins, ooh, this one's tough.
This one is very hard. The Seahawks, Bengals. Yeah.
I got to go Bengals. I think the Bengals are really good. I think the Seahawks aren't even as good as their 2-2 record right now. And Wilson looks a little confused. Their offense seems to be lacking in identity. I'm guessing Lynch will be back, but I just think this Bengals team is... I think there's something happening in Cincinnati. So I'm definitely behind the Bengals. That said, I don't start a single Bengal this week.
No.
And I'm not sure I start any Seahawks either.
No, I don't really like... neither team has any real good plays this week. But I think when I look at it, I am going to go with the Bengals as well, because the Seahawks, you know, like you say, they're not as good as their 2-2 record. Well, that obviously because they should be 1-3. But,
yeah, exactly.
But you know, it's tough. It's a 51-49 Bengals for me, but 51%, but not. I'm not saying that it's for sure, but if they can get, if the Seahawks can get Graham more involved, then that would give them a better chance than what they've been.
If.
But that's a big if. All right, battle of the bottom feeders, Jaguars versus the Buccaneers.
The Jaguars may not be quite at the bottom of the bottom feeders anymore.
Nope, not at all.
But
they still show like bottom feeders occasionally.
It is. It's all about Winston and how many picks he throws. I mean, he threw four last week. The Jaguars' defense is a play this week. I think you got to go Jags just because right now Bortles in his progression is much farther along. And I think he gives them the advantage. And, I'm still waiting for Mike Evans to really show up and have a big day, and it could happen at any point. But and the Buccaneers' defense isn't as bad as people think, especially against quarterbacks. I think the Jags are just a little farther along right now.
I'm going to go with the Buccaneers.
Okay.
It's primarily because they're at home, and I do think they have slightly better talent in some cases, but you know, again, it's far from a sure thing. The Redskins, Falcons, yes. I like the Falcons.
I am not hesitating on this one. The Falcons are better than the Redskins. The Falcons' offense, their offensive line especially, just looks devastating. Redskins' defense has been actually really good this game, even when they've lost.
Yes.
Redskins' defense has played really, really well. But, this is a test.
Are they going to have the answer to Devontae Freeman is the question.
That offensive line. And they did it last week with Jones not being special. And, I mean, can you picture him not being special 2 weeks in a row? I can't. Really. I mean, you got to go Falcons here at home. Absolutely.
Yeah, they're developing an offense that has a running back, that has good wide receiving, you know, with one of the best wide receivers, if not the best wide receiver in the game. So,
But the Redskins if you want to start wide receivers, I think that they should be vulnerable. The Falcons are vulnerable to being thrown on by, you know, caught on with the wide receivers. I mean, so I do expect the Skins to throw quite a bit, and mainly to the wide receivers, and be effective there.
All right. Well, let's move on to the Patriots-Cowboys. And this one shouldn't be that hard.
I don't ever pick against the Patriots when they've had an off week. And they've had an off week. And the Patriots are doing tremendous against run games this season. And the only thing the Cowboys have right now is a run game. But it's more just how exposed. And I know Hardy's going to be in probably this week, but for the Cowboys, which should help. But their defense just exposed to me.
Well, the thing is, the Patriots can score 20 points, and that will probably give them enough points to win.
Yeah, but I think they'll score more than that.
Yes, I do. I do, too. All right, the 49ers-Giants.
So here's my survivor pick this week is the Giants.
Mm, yeah.
This 49ers team, what was it? Dumpster fire, Roto-World calls them?
Yeah, a dumpster fire. Yep.
They are. They're, I don't think there's any question that they are hurting. Like, they're really... I don't know who's falling apart more, them or the Texans, but it's really those two teams that, to me, are falling apart as far as already giving up on the season. And the 49ers, I mean, now they can't establish a run game with Hyde, which leaves them with nothing. I think the Giants' defense is your pick of the week, and therefore the Giants at home. It's just a matter of how do they do it? Through the air, on the ground, or do they mix it up? Because they could do it all against the 49ers.
Really, anybody can do it all against the 49ers. I think the 49ers came out in week one, and they surprised They surprised a bunch of people. But the truth is, afterwards, people figured out exactly what they were doing. And it could be over for them.
Steelers and Chargers is the last game of the week.
Yeah, I'm going with the Chargers.
Yeah, me too. You know, I think this is going to be a real fun game. I think this will be one of the better Monday night games. And I think it would have been with Big Ben or will be with Vic. I still think it'll be fun. Vic will have the advantage now of having played the Thursday, and now it's a Monday. So he's got extra time to practice with the first team offense. So I think he'll be better than he was on Thursday. He was accurate on Thursday, but he didn't take any shots downfield. The run plays designed for him didn't work. His timing was a little bit off. I think he'll find Brown a lot more. Bell will be awesome. That said, the Chargers are that type of team that will win 38-35 every week. It could. And if the ball's in Vic's hands in the last 2 minutes, the Steelers will lose. If the ball is in the Chargers' hands in the last 2 minutes, or Rivers' hands the last 2 minutes, the Chargers will win.
Yes. Yes, there is no question about that. All right. So
your survivor pick.
Well, I mean, it would probably be the Giants in this case too. They're just a perfect choice. There's very few, like the Cardinals have a great matchup, absolutely, and I think that
the Falcons
do, really? You know, and you could probably feel pretty safe with the Colts to a certain degree, but not necessarily. So to me, there's not a lot of great picks that I feel are kind of guaranteed. Whereas the Giants, I feel, are really like 90%.
Okay, what do you think? Who do you think is the best quarterback player of the week?
Well, it's hard not to love Eli. Like, it's hard not to want to fire up your Giants, period.
Yeah.
Against
I think Beckham has to, you have to go Beckham this week. I think there's unquestioned. He's one of your two wide receiver starts. There's just no other way to look at it.
Yeah. I mean, as far as strong quarterbacking, I mean, Carson Palmer, he's gonna have.
I think Carson really Palmer is a. I think Carson Palmer might be my pick of the week, a quarterback. I think he's gonna be just on fire.
You know, there's guys that I think could have good weeks. I think Drew Brees could have a good week, yeah. But you know,
and I like McCown. Like, I really like
McCown. Could have a good week, but when it comes down to just,
I like Flacco too.
Actually. Yeah, when it comes down to just straight choosing a quarterback. That is, you know, a good quarterback, I would definitely choose Carson Palmer.
And I think a lot of people, the Steelers' defense has been a surprise this year, but if you went with Rivers, I wouldn't blame you.
No.
Though I'm not going to go with him over a couple of those other guys, but I don't blame you. But I'll go Palmer, I think, is the best pick of the week at quarterback. So if we have Beckham at one wide receiver, who do you like at the other one? I mean, I'd probably go Jones because I don't go 2 weeks in a row without playing. We're thinking Jones will have a bad game.
Nope, Julio Jones is going to be great. You know, a complete sneaky play in that regard is going to be Larry Fitzgerald.
Larry Fitzgerald should be awesome. You know, another great play. I absolutely think so. So Beckham and then either Jones or Fitzgerald should be your top performers. You're going to make your pick. Your running backs.
This one's a tough one, you know, but I think that Matt Forte could be in for a nice big week.
Forte's not a bad pick. You know who I like, actually? is Lewis. I think he's going to catch the ball a lot. If you're in a PPR, I think Lewis is going to catch the ball a lot. I think the Cowboys are so vulnerable. You know, I mean, it could be Blount getting all the TDs, but I like Lewis actually as a sneaky play. I wish it wasn't a three-headed monster running back by committee in New York, so I could pick a Giant. I can't.
Yeah.
You know, but yeah, I mean, I absolutely think that Lewis is a great play this week.
And if T.J. Yeldon is the back that I know you think he is, this could be the week that he gets on court.
He could have a big week too, yeah.
But so could Todd Gurley.
Yep, absolutely. Absolutely he could. I mean, any of these guys who are just this talented could. I mean, same thing. I mean, I think I think Sankey or William or Andrews, sorry, in Tennessee could have a big day, but I don't know which one.
Yeah, that's right.
So that's the problem.
All right, well, let's move on to tight end, where it's Rob Gronkowski and Rob Gronkowski.
Yeah, it's Gronkowski. Yeah. Okay, and defense, I go Giants.
Giants, yeah. If you can get the Giants, get the Giants. Cardinals are number two, probably.
And I probably just go Tucker at tight or at kicker, personally.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Tucker, you know, it'll be interesting because Cairo Santos was the big winner last week, and I see no reason to think
he should have a big day again.
Yeah,
he should have a big day. So, you know, I mean, it's just he doesn't have the history that Tucker.
That's right, absolutely.
All right, so let's move over to our teams. So here we go. We'll break down the different teams that we have. We're going to start with the team we call Bluegrass Warhead, and we'll just mention the names. If they sound weird to you, what happens is I just throw out a word, and Brett just throws out a word randomly with absolutely no strategy for picking our team names until we come across a combination that we think that we can live with. So Bluegrass Warhead, which we're probably going to rename Frankenstein's Monster, because this is our worst team. That's why I want to start with them. They're 1-3. They are a 7th in the league in scoring. Their lineup right now, and this week I think have made 5 waiver moves just for the starting lineup.
That's right.
And if we're getting back into it, we're doing it through the streaming exclusively, because our picks, this was a auction league, and the people we spent money on, the same strategy that's been successful in our other leagues, for some reason just the guys we got have not hit. We have McCown right now as our starting quarterback. Andre Williams is one running back. Charlie Sims is the other one. We have Hilton, Snead, Fleener at tight end. In the flex position, we have Duke Johnson. Our bench is full of Phillip Rivers, Jeremy Hill, who we don't want to play against Seattle, especially leaving practice today, DeMarco Murray, who has been a disappointment, Landry on bye, Marshall on bye, and Tate, who we just don't like this week. And we have the Cardinals defense and Brown. We were 0-3. We won last week. Brett.
Despite all that, give
your opinion on what's going to happen here with Bluegrass Warhead. What have we learned?
Well, the idea was always to stream at the tight end, at the defense, at the kicker, and at the quarterback. And I think it's not that that's failed, per se. What I think has happened in this case is just that our running backs have not lived up to the potential that we kind of needed them to live up to.
The idea was at least get 3 players that would be considered guys, spend your money to get 3 players who would be considered guys that should be taken in the first 2 rounds of a 12-team draft. And so we thought we did that when we got Murray, Hill, and Hilton. And so far, Hilton has been they've all had problems. Let's face it. I mean, Hill had a couple of good games and a couple complete stinkers. Murray's had a lot of stinkers who've been a little bit pushed up by the PPR. So I don't think the strategy is wrong, but absolutely this week. I mean, I'm sure we're going to probably drop Williams. The thing is that some of these streams, I look at McCown, I look at Sims, I look at Snead, Fleener if Allen doesn't play, Duke Johnson possibly. This stream could be terrific, and it would be an interesting strategy, an interesting almost experiment to see how effective can full streaming be on a lineup. I mean, because we might end up streaming all 12 people, because I'm okay to drop Murray if he doesn't work. And that's one thing I have learned this year, is it used to be in the past, hold on to your best players. They'll get better. This year, no, there's a lot of guys who've changed the teams, or they're just getting older. And it's like, no, our success has been when we put people like Hill on the bench and Murray on the bench.
Well, at the end of the day, I would rather get 10 points from a guy that I streamed than hold on to a guy who's going to give me 25 points 1 week and 2 for another 4.
So on the other end, we have Sweaty Demons, one of our longtime team names. They are 4-0. This is a team that the NFL, when we drafted them, predicted us to go 0-14 and said the mistake was that we waited to, what, like round 9 to take a quarterback.
Nine or ten, very late.
They predicted we wouldn't win a single game. We're 4-0. Eli Manning is our quarterback. We have Dalton on the bench. I mean, that's been a great 1-2 punch so far early in the season, and Manning is a recent pickup here. We have DeMarco Murray here as well, but we also have Devontae Freeman. We have Doug Baldwin, who has been a stream for us. We have Hopkins. Nuke Hopkins has been a consistently great garbage time wide receiver for us. We now have Barnage in at tight end, but we've been playing Olsen. Marshall has been a big pickup for us. Hill is on our bench, as is Matthews, who's just to back up Murray. And then there's Nas Davis and Devontae Adams, who are basically players that we're looking to drop.
Yeah, they'll be gone almost for sure this week.
So what's the difference between these two teams? This was a draft, not a PPR, but what made this team hit? Is it just the luck of getting Freeman?
Well,
I don't know if it was luck, though,
no,
because we were high on him.
We were, and in fairness, Freeman has only added, we've only played him the last 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
So the first 2 weeks, you know, a lot of that came from the fact, well, Hill was big in the first week, and then Brandon Marshall has been big throughout.
Mm-hmm.
And so that certainly helped us.
And Hopkins has had big games.
Hopkins has been great the whole mess, you know, yeah. Like he's...
And Dalton was a great stream.
Yeah. I mean, we've had guys who have just scored really strong points, and then when you add in that now we have a Devontae Freeman, that team, you know, stands up because of the depth. That's where the really big thing is.
And again, if you get a couple players who are who will hang out, you know, and kind of bump up your team, that's all it takes. Because around that, you can build, a full team that are streamers. Because again, these are a lot of guys like Baldwin here, and you know, Eli even to a degree, Barnage, you know. These are guys that did not build our strategy around, obviously, and yet we're having success because you only take the streaming is I believe that's the way to go from now on. We're going to move on to Fantasy Bowl. We have a team in Fantasy Bowl called the Great Budgie. Our starting quarterback is on to Andy Dalton. We have Devontae Freeman. We have Antonio Brown, Jeremy Maclin, Edelman. We have Jared Cook as our tight end. Guskowski is our kicker. The Giants are now our defense. On the bench, we have Hill, Gore, Matthews, Morris, and John Brown, and the Carolina D. Carolina D is being a revelation for us this year. We can't play them this week due to bye, but they'll be back in afterwards. But this is one where, yeah, we have Freeman, but the strategy has always been you have to play minimum one running back, minimum one receiver, and then you get the other two positions are flex, essentially. It's always been, it's a PPR, go with the wide receivers, it's a passing league. But, boy, we got some good running backs, but still, this is working great.
Well, you know, what's really happened is that we're good, we're really strong on bye because of the volume of flex. Like, we're not at a point ever in this league where we're like, oh no, I have one extra running back, but I don't have enough wide receivers. You know, because it's like, oh, if I have one extra running back, I'll just play three running backs.
Yeah, this will be the three of the 4 weeks we will have played. Three of the 4 weeks here we'll have played three wide receivers and one running back. It's just last week we played two running backs. We played Gordon. And Freeman, yeah.
One of the problems with this league
only 2-2, but we're like third in the league in scoring, and I think that it's just kind of been poor luck. Like we lost the game by 3 points, another game by like 5 points. We could very well be 4-0, and I think we're gonna have a really good strong season here.
I think the biggest problem that I've seen is in trying to stream that tight end. One of the things we definitely noticed was that picking a tight end early to get one of those top 3-4 guys, that was a good strategy, because when we're streaming, it's become much harder for us to actually get tight ends that score consistent points, because Jared Cook is not that guy.
No, that's the thing. I mean, it's a streaming position, but that has been the hardest position to stream so far, and absolutely a couple guys have emerged there, but honestly, yeah, I agree. This is the other three teams that all are better. The best lineups are three best teams remaining. All of these, we were just, like I say, we got a good tight end and the 4-0 Sweaty Demons. We got Greg Olsen there.
That's right.
So here we have a team that is, again, streaming the quarterback, and it's working great for us. We used Bortles last week. We've also had Tannehill on our bench, and at times he's been useful. Bortles was great last week. We have Charles, we have Rashad Jennings, we have Dave Johnson in Arizona, we have Ryan Matthews again, LeSean McCoy here, Keenan Allen, Malcolm Floyd, Jeremy Maclin, Brandon Marshall, Kendall Wright, Jimmy Graham is our tight end, we have Janikowski at kicker, and we have a pair of defenses right now. We have the Bengals and we have the Giants, and really what you're seeing here is we're carried largely by these receivers. Allen has been had a couple tremendous games. Maclin has been really, really consistent, as has Marshall. And then, of course, you have Charles, who's always great. So that means you only have to find one tight end, and the streaming quarterbacks has been successful so far.
it's way easier to stream quarterbacks than it is tight ends this year. Last year, I think, was a little different. We were able to find some value in the tight end position, but this year, there's lots of quarterbacks who are showing up with really strong matchups because, again, it's part of that evolution of the NFL becoming a passing league is we're really able to see, like, we're at a point where Josh McCown would not have been, you know, 5 years ago, Cleveland would have been run first, run first, run first. They would not have thrown the ball even if they were losing.
Mm-hmm.
Nowadays, you know, Josh McCown is going to throw 40 or 50 times a game, and that's almost a guarantee. And it's the same thing with Blake Bortles. So the more that you see that kind of necessity to throw, then the easier it is for us to stream quarterbacks. And so having those other guys where you can just kind of mold a team of consistent players and stream a quarterback, oh, so much easier.
Yeah, and that team is 3-1, and they're third in the league in their scoring. Here's a team that is 3-1 and first in their league in scoring. Our quarterbacks in this team, and this is a deep, deep bench. This is Elite Fantasy Football League. And this team is, what the heck's the name of this team? Quicksand Candy.
Quicksand Candy.
Brand new team name. So we have Teddy Bridgewater and Joe Flacco. We just dropped Kaepernick and picked up Eli Manning, but Cam Newton's been the revelation and a great value pick for us there. Our running backs, Bernard Giovanni. I'm glad I convinced you to at least pick him once.
Gio Bernard, you mean?
Gio, what'd I say?
Bernard Giovanni.
Oh, he's a good actor. yeah. Bernard, shut up. We're trying to do this quick. We have somebody coming who's about to interrupt us here. So, but Bernard has been a great revelation. Freeman, of course, another guy. As you can see, we are high on him. Rashad Jennings, again, a guy we are high on. That's maybe not worked out quite as good. But here we got Eddie Lacy, and we got Shane Vereen. We managed to get one stud running back, and then another one has emerged. And meanwhile, we have Keenan Allen again, Randall Cobb, Pierre Garçon, and Brandon Marshall. Cobb is your stud, and then we managed to add in a couple other guys that are near studs now, and Allen and Marshall. Even Garçon has been good. And our tight end, we once again have Jimmy Graham, so we're solid there. The kicker is Graham Gano, so we'll have to replace him this week. And we have the Giants defense this week to stream in place of the Panthers.
And
this
again,
is a wicked team.
Yeah, it's a very good team. We dropped, it's funny, because we just dropped Brian Quick for the Giants defense because we thought, you know, as I think several people did at the beginning of the season, that Brian Quick was going to actually be the number one receiver. But Jeff Fisher, for whatever reason, is holding him back to very few snaps. So, I mean,
yeah,
it was a pretty easy decision to replace his 0 points.
They were saying it's health-related, and you start to wonder at a certain point. The other thing about it is that that team... It's a little bit different. Like, we have so many quarterbacks, and you have a lot of wide receivers and tight ends. We have two of them. We have, you know, Allen as well as Graham there. It's like, all those running backs. Elite has a huge bench, and yet usually that means that you're going to end up with those guys like Quick. You're going to end up with three or four guys that are useless. I think we only have one or two that are useless, and that's luck through the draft or skill through the draft.
Well, it goes
whatever
a long
it is,
way.
It's maybe a little bit of both. Little A, little B.
Goes a long way towards our success overall as well, and how well we did in the back end of the draft.
Yeah. And once again, and you know what? We deserve it because a lot of years in the past we've had horrible back ends the last 2 years.
So Zach Stacy.
That sounds dirty. And then we're finally going to do Fuzzy's Fantasy Football, the bidding for the studs league. This is another bidding league, obviously. What's the name of this team again here? You remember this is a... I don't even remember here. What do we got? You remember Fuzzy's team name?
No, I do not.
No? All right. Well, I'm going to look it up because it's going to bug me if I don't. So we're going to just quickly throw it in there. Tactical Sucker.
Tactical Sucker.
Yeah, Tactical Sucker.
Sucker.
Yeah. All right. In another example, we are 3-1. We are the second highest scoring team in the league, and by just a few points. And the drop off between the top three teams and the rest is huge here. You'll see this is a strong team. You're going to see a strategy again that has worked out great. And that's the streaming quarterback. Marcus Mariota is one quarterback, and we have Michael Vick now. You would think that's weak, but Mariota, after the first 3 weeks, top seven quarterback. So it will be really, really that's worked out well. And then you have Le'Veon Bell, and you have Chris Ivory, Deion Lewis, who's a pickup, Doug Martin, Ryan Matthews once again, and Bishop Sankey. You can see you could start easily four of those running backs every week. We're only starting two generally, maybe three, but generally two. At wide receiver, we have one guy that we're looking to drop when we have a chance to improve, and that's Danny Amendola. Other than that, Pierre Garçon. And then the strength of the team, A.J. Green, Julio Jones, and Macklin. Again, this was a bidding league. This was a league where we thought, let's get three guys that could be counted top 24 players in a draft. Maybe even top, I'd say maybe even top 15 players in draft here in A.J. Green, Julio Jones, and Eddie Lacy. And then when you have some of these other guys emerge, this is a stud-filled team. The tight end has been a problem. But if Gates, now that he's healthy, or back for suspension, I should say, is good, will be great. We did pick up Barnage, and our kicker is Justin Tucker, the Giants' defense. This team, to me, is posed to make a championship run based on those receivers and the depth that has emerged at running back.
It's funny because the draft took a very, very, very long time in this case because we were waiting on the right people. And you know what? I know that there was even concern during that day that this team might not turn out to be very good because we waited and some of the guys went for more money. And the way that the money got spent, you know, we ran out almost quicker than we anticipated. But at the end of the day, we went in with a strategy, and the strategy came out as working.
What it is that we learned from doing the first draft for free, and then you did your money draft. The first draft, we learned, do not be afraid to spend almost all your money right away on those stud players and then fill it out later. Do not be afraid from that, because otherwise you'd be sitting there going, I'll get somebody almost as good, and then you won't.
That's right.
And that's been the key that has worked out well for us. So I think that's it for this episode. I think we're OET on this sucker. Is there anything else that you want to say, Brett?
Well, you know, if you did want to check us out, you can visit us on Twitter. We Talk Podcasts at We Talk Podcasts. Otherwise, you know, our names are our names and our email addresses, so those are pretty easy to find. But I think we'll wrap it up with, we'll see ya, and we'll beat ya.